Welcome to another episode of the Dead Center Podcast. My name is Nick, and today I'm joined with Rebecca Davis of the film Join or Die. How are you doing?
Doing great. Glad to be here.
Glad to be here. And we were just talking before, but you said that this film was with Dead Center last year. Can you kind of talk about its run with Dead Center and kind of how this podcast came to be, I guess?
Yeah, sure. So our film Join or Die premiered, it had its world premiere last March at South by Southwest. And then after that, you know, we spent a lot of 2023 touring film festivals all over the country, you know, film festivals like Dead Center and many others. We've had a few international screenings. This year, we are kind of focused more on community screenings. So, you know, taking the film out of just film festival world and bringing it to communities around the country that we hope can do something about some of the trends in civic decline that the film charts.
Absolutely. And yeah, we're going to dive into what the film is all about. But I wanted to first ask you, how did you like first get into filmmaking? Because you come from a background in journalism, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So this is a film I worked on with my brother. So we were co-producers on this, a brother-sister team. At the time when we approached Robert Putnam, who's the main subject of the film, it was 2017, and I was working as a journalist at NBC News. And at that time, I was, you know, covering a lot of the symptoms on the ground of Robert Putnam's famous social science work that, you know, became known through his famous book Bowling Alone that came out in 2000. So, you know, I'd been working in the media and I was covering a lot of the symptoms that I knew his book addressed. So, you know, things like school shootings, the opioid epidemic, rising numbers of, you know, suicides around the country. And, you know, a sense as I was traveling around with NBC that, you know, a lot of people felt like things in their communities were not functioning well. You know, the politics were not functioning well. People were feeling increasingly isolated. You know, and I thought it was time to kind of revisit Robert Putnam's famous work from his book Bowling Alone. And then, you know, my brother had this personal connection to Bob. He was a student of Robert Putnam's in 2010. And so I said to my brother, Pete, you know, what do you think about us approaching Bob, see if he's up for revisiting his work in film? And we were lucky. He said yes. And that was 7 years ago. So we've been working on this project for a long time.
That's crazy. I love that story of kind of the background of it. Do you think there's like stuff from your journalism that has inspired you in this filmmaking journey, or like what aspects of journalism have inspired it?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think at that moment when we approached Bob in 2017, I was working in national media. So for national NBC News, and, you know, the sense I was getting at that time, you know, I'd been a journalist for about 10 years at that time, for about a decade. And I felt like we were leaving our audiences increasingly feeling despair as they would watch, you know, the nightly news shows that we were kind of putting out. And, you know, on both sides of the political spectrum, you know, certainly things over that decade were also getting increasingly polarized in our country. But I felt like that feeling, you know, that people, that viewers were getting from the news was leaving them feel hopeless, and also leaving them feeling like, you know, the conversation was increasingly shifting to what was going on in Washington. You know, I kind of started feeling like we were doing like the ESPN of politics, where, you know, everyone, you know, was educated to death about this and that policy in Washington, but knew less and less about what was happening in their local communities.
Right.
You know, and not to the fault of anyone in America, because, you know, at the same time, you know, we were seeing, you know, a increase in local news just shutting down, you know, across the country. In the time from when I graduated in journalism school in 2005 to, you know, shortly before this film came out, like in early 2020, 25% of our local newspapers folded. I mean, that is, you know, a wild, catastrophic news event that was happening, you know, and I wanted a chance to work on a story that would celebrate, you know, local heroes around the country and give viewers that were watching a template for what they could do, a small step they could take in their community, you know, towards making our democracy function better. And, you know, with this film, in addition to featuring the work of Robert Putnam, we were lucky enough to also spend time with six, you know, community groups around the country and community leaders that we hope, in the film, inspire viewers to think about what they could be doing, to turn around some of these trends.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so for our audience who maybe doesn't know Bowling Alone or Robert or his work, can you kind of explain like what Join or Die this film is all about?
Sure. So the film features the work of Harvard professor Robert Putnam. And he's famous for this book, Bowling Alone, which came out in the year 2000, that charts the decline in American civic life. So the famous title Bowling Alone comes from this idea that he found in his research that numbers had remained constant as far as participation in bowling, but increasingly we were not bowling together. We're and he kind of then used this as a metaphor as he built out from there. And, looked at a lot of things we weren't doing together anymore. We weren't joining civic organizations. We weren't, participating in kind of local governments, attending, town meetings. And then also, we weren't meeting up as much informally either. So he looked at picnicking data. Our picnicking numbers had gone down. In 1975, the average American went on 5 picnics a year. And by 1999, that had dropped to 2. Also things like dinner parties, we were having less people over to the house. We knew our neighbors less. And we were also, just moving in a general trend of increasing distrust for each other and for our government and institutions. So the film, follows Robert Putnam, his life and his work. But then, we also bring in a bunch of other academics and politicians, around Bob Putnam in the film, who've both been inspired by his ideas and kind of done their own work to build on his legacy.
Absolutely. And I think it's like a concept for everyone because community involves everybody. How was it like, can you kind of talk about going into these different communities, like with you and your brother making this film and what that looked like?
Yeah, so and as any documentarian, you kind of start out with an idea, and your film can take 100 different directions that you tried to go in with that idea. And we knew from the start we could have told a story that was just about Bob and his data, but we felt like this movie wouldn't have any heart to it if it was just the data and the research and not the practitioners on the ground and the average everyday kind of American citizen who is living out life behind these numbers. So we really wanted to kind of bring those two aspects together, and we were lucky enough, to find 6 amazing groups around the country that, are living the work that Bob is researching. So we featured, of course, we leaned into the bowling metaphor and featured a bowling league in Portland, Maine. We featured a cycling group in Atlanta, Georgia. A Oddfellows Lodge, one of the great fraternal organizations in American history, in Waxahachie, Texas. A church group in Michigan. A labor organizing group in Chicago, the Chicago Gig Alliance, and a mutual aid group in Los Angeles. So, kind of flying all around the country to show different ways that people are getting together and bucking these trends, most importantly.
Yeah, absolutely. And in watching the film, I love just how, these groups were so different, but you saw like the similarities at the heart of each group, and I'm curious, just from a filmmaking perspective, like how did you find all of those groups? Was it just like internet searches or like what did that process look like?
Yeah, internet, Facebook. I think at one point we had a spreadsheet of like 200 potential groups that we could follow, and it's like as it was a challenge to also narrow down which charts and data of Bob's that we would show, because we also had a spreadsheet about 100 different graphs that we could potentially put in the film. We kind of, yeah, did a big search far and wide for groups around the country. And I think what we used as kind of a framing idea for what groups we felt met the bar of a group that we wanted to feature in the film was groups that really put place and the importance of place at the center of the work that they were doing. Because we are at such a moment of deep polarization in this country, it was a little bit of a challenge to find groups that weren't kind of explicitly organizing around, red blue politics in this country. But, you know, we felt like place is something that, you know, one of the places we can kind of still come together in the US over love of our towns, our neighborhoods. And so the six groups we featured were all groups like deeply rooted in the place that they're working in now. And, you know, that was our effort to make a film that wasn't about explicitly about politics, but about political science and kind of the theory behind Bob's social science work.
For sure. No, absolutely. I feel like that really came across. And I was curious because you mentioned, you know, you made this film with your brother. What did that kind of working relationship look like between siblings?
So, you know, my brother and I kind of growing up had no intention of ever going into kind of a family filmmaking business. He works, you know, having been a student of Bob's is probably not a surprise. He went into work, you know, more in government policy type work, and I was working as a journalist. But, you know, I think we were specifically well suited to work on this together because we had grown up in a very civic town in Falls Church, Virginia. So even before working on this film, you know, these ideas of community were very close to both me and my brother's kind of upbringing and framing of the world. And I think in working together on this project, you know, and getting that much more deep into Bob's data and research, you know, that only solidified, you know, our sense that this is, you know, an incredibly important issue that we should all be, you know, thinking about and working on. And then, of course, COVID hit in the middle of our production in 2020, which we could have never seen coming. So, you know, year over year, I think the urgency of this message, you know, just felt more and more important to my brother and I.
No,
But we are still friends, I'm happy to report.
yeah, okay, that's good to know. And you mentioned, you know, like COVID impacting this film as like, you know, it impacted everybody. But I found it very interesting and almost helpful for your film in that you included that in the film with like Bob, you know, talking about it and showing how that impacted, you know, the work you and him had been talking about the whole film. And that was very interesting to see, like, you know, all that statistics going into the, you know, aspect of community and seeing how COVID was driving that even further. I thought that made it very powerful in that third act.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, that's the interesting and challenging thing about doing, you know, documentary work or any type of long-term projects. You start the project in one world, and you finish the project in another world, and the project becomes what it is depending on what transpires during that window of time. And you know, while it certainly presented a challenge for, you know, everyone working and certainly people working in film and production where, you know, we have to be in person and suddenly couldn't due to health risks. You know, at the same time, this film is now releasing in a moment where people are that much more ready to have that conversation after we've lived through what was very much kind of a natural social experiment that no social scientist could have, you know, crafted themselves of what does it feel like to live for a year when we can't, you know, hug our grandparents or can't go out and, you know, talk to our neighbor in close proximity. You know, and the interesting thing, maybe somewhat ironic, is we don't necessarily need data to know it didn't feel great when we were on our third Zoom happy hour. You know, it didn't feel the same, you know, or is that much harder to kind of meet up for the birthday party over Zoom or the meeting. You know, and our world now is obviously forever changed after that. But I think it's a moment where there's a lot of open questions, and we hope that this film can kind of be part of the conversation of what do we want our world to look like as we rebuild out of that.
No, absolutely. And I think it definitely will be because kind of in what you're saying about like, you know, COVID made everyone think about, you know, interactions differently with other people. I'd even seen videos surfacing online, like, you know, talking about the concept of like third spaces and like what that looks like. And so it was almost like my mind was already like ready to intake this film. So by the time I was watching it, I was like, this is definitely just reigning very true right now and something that we should definitely focus on.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to ask you as well, like you talked about like the prep for this documentary. With like your background, was the prep for this film any different than like the other kinds of work you've done, like the Explain series?
Yeah, so I was lucky enough. I feel like this film really let me kind of bring together these two, you know, incredible past experience I had, you know, both first working at NBC News, where I worked for, you know, a little under a decade covering national news, you know, flying around the country, meeting with Americans and sharing their stories. And then after I left NBC, I was fortunate enough to get to work on a series called Explained. It's an explainer show on Netflix that Vox put out. And that show was all about, you know, taking complex data and, you know, making it fun to watch and interesting and enlightening. And, you know, this film, I was really able to kind of marry those two past experiences, both my experience in the field and doing journalism, and then this great opportunity I had to work on the second season of this show, Explained, where we were bringing a lot of data to life. You know, and so in that way, this documentary is very much an Explained episode, you know, extended.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that kind of did remind me, like, one thing I love about this film is the animations throughout just help tell the story in such a great way. Like, it really is so engaging. And I love, like, the score and the animation on top of you all's awesome filmmaking. I just thought the marriage of those things that just worked out really great.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to our incredible animator, Mark Lopez of Silkworm Studios in Austin, Texas. Him alongside our editor, Chad Irvin, who's based in Vermont. You know, we were incredibly lucky to have both of their talents on the team. Chad, who, you know, was able to wrap his arms around thousands of hours of footage of American civic life, you know, and then Mark, our animator, who was able to kind of bring Bob's data to life and really make it, you know, jump off the proverbial page, you know, not being in a book anymore. And then also, you know, make a film that is about a very serious topic, you know, which some people are somewhat critical of our title, Join or Die, but, you know, we stand by the stakes being that high. You know, we wanted both to, you know, bring into the conversation this, you know, very serious moment, you know, our personal lives and health are in, and our democracy. But we also wanted the film to be a celebration of Americans, you know, rich civic history. And, you know, we were lucky enough with our animator, you know, he really took that that task and ran with it in, you know, surfacing all these incredible archival photos and pairing those with Bob's data.
Yeah, no, and that hard work definitely showed. And you had mentioned that, you know, like COVID was, you know, an adversity that you all faced during the filming of this. Were there any other things, like with the production of the film behind the scenes, that were like a challenge to overcome while making this documentary?
Yeah, COVID was definitely one, you know, but like I said earlier, you know, how you start the film in one world and end it in another, and the film becomes what it is, depending what happens in that time. Mm-hmm. You know, in other ways, when that happened and we couldn't get out to film, we brought on our archival producer at that moment, Rebecca Kent, because we were like, usually you do your archival research more towards the end of production. You kind of get all your interviews and then you see what archival works with it. But we were like, okay, we can't do interviews. Let's just start building a massive archive of as much kind of civic and community life in America as possible. So we got a little extra time than, you know, we might have otherwise, because we had this year just sitting at home where we couldn't do anything. And, you know, at that point, like I said, I brought on our archival producer, Rebecca Kent, and she was able to build up, you know, an amazing stock of, you know, incredible images and videos from American civic life for us to work with. It's hard to think of another challenge larger than COVID for production. So I think I'll probably leave it at that one. I mean, maybe a close second would be, you know, just wrapping our arms around how prolific Bob's work is and squeezing that into, you know, an hour and a half or so long film when Bob has written, you know, many, many books. We couldn't even mention, you know, half of them in the film. And like I said, narrowing down, we couldn't have a film that was just back-to-back graphs, so we could only show a handful. But I think our hope is that the film is like a 101 class into social capital and kind of these trends in American civic decline. And that, you know, viewers will watch the film and then go out and kind of read more and take the research in their own direction that they want to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And if viewers have that, like, you know, experience, like, what are some like resources if they watch this film, they're like, I want to know more about this or learn more. What are some like resources they can check out?
Yeah, so on our website, we have a join or die book club that features a bunch of books by not just Bob, but you know, the other academics and scholars in our film that we feature. But we also encourage, we're on this big community tour, as I mentioned, and we want, you know, we kind of love that the only way to see the film right now is together. It's not yet up on a streamer, although, you know, hopeful that it will be eventually. But for now, if you want to see the film, you have to organize your own community event. So there is a button on our website that you can click on. Our website is putnamdoc.com or joinordie.film. Both of those go to the same place. And there's a button that says host a screening. And so we're kind of asking people to get out and be community organizers in the tour of this film right now. Host a screening event, you know, watch it with you know, a handful of people or those that you're already maybe in community with, and we want people having kind of as many discussions right now as possible about what they want to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I know when you mentioned that earlier that like you were doing these community screenings, I'm like that fits perfectly. So that's awesome that that's how it's set up.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you on top of that, like on top of like those like hosted screenings for the film, was there anyone else from the Join or Die team that was influenced to like start a club or an organization or join a club like from doing all this like research and learning about this?
Yeah, you know, we and you know, not just people on our team, you know, it's interesting. I think maybe the subject of the film made the team self-select a little bit, like people that were already interested in this topic. So, you know, as we were interviewing editors, you know, so our team was already pretty civically inclined. But we definitely had kind of like researchers that worked on the team that then started writing groups or book clubs or, you know, intramural sports leagues. And I will say that's kind of like the happiest feedback we can get after people watch the film is hearing that they've left the theater and decided to either join a club or double down on the work that they're already doing after, you know, sitting in the theater and hopefully having a little bit of a pep rally for community life.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And speaking of like sitting down in a theater, like are there any, moments from your time with this film or maybe another one, like a film festival or theater experience that's kind of like stands out to you as like oh wow, that was a good community event.
Probably what stands out instead of just one specific event is more just like the range of different groups that this topic is speaking to. So one day we'll be at, you know, the California Teachers Union annual conference, and the next day we'll be at a, you know, church group in Arkansas. The next day we'll be at the DSA in Pittsburgh, and the next day we'll be, you know, sharing the film with like a planners association that wants to talk about, you know, city design and community. And, you know, and I think that speaks to this idea of our community life, our civic life, our social bonds being so core to everything that we do, that they touch on, you know, so many different groups around the country. And of course, our democracy that everyone should be caring about, the health of it, no matter what side of the political aisle they're on.
No, absolutely. And I know you've kind of already like spoken a decent amount on this, but like is there anything else like after people watch this film that like you hope they take away or hope that kind of sticks in their heart?
You know, I think one of the things we talked, you know, to our creative team about as we were getting started is this idea that we really wanted to make an alternative textbook with the film and surface a bunch of photos of, you know, Americans from history, but Americans that no one would recognize. The people that were going to the meeting and sitting around a table on a Tuesday night, but the ones who were organizing to make the work of kind of our great social movement leaders that we do recognize from our textbooks, you know, possible. And so, you know, our film is filled with tons of archival photos, but you probably won't recognize a lot of people in them, you know, but we want to kind of raise the profile of the work that every American is doing to participate in our democracy and our civic life. You know, and in this year, that's an election year, we want to raise up, you know, as much as, you know, voting is going to be in a lot of people's conversations, we want to raise up the word join, to the same level because, you know, as much as voting and participating in our democracy is, you know, very much a part of that process, In our mind, that is one step. Whereas, joining is an 1,000-step journey after that initial step to join and start participating. That is as important as Bob's data shows, and that we hope we prove out through the film, as what's happening at the ballot box.
Absolutely. I love that. Okay, so on this podcast, we always do like an ending prompt that's like, a little bit unrelated to maybe what we were talking about the whole time. But so I have an ending prompt of what's like a dream documentary you would love to create over like any subject or anything.
I think I hope this is not a dodge to that question, but this project was really my dream project to get to work on this. And I think it was a culmination of all the work I'd kind of done before covering kind of community life in America, both in local news initially and the national news. And so this is going to be totally honest, like a hard one to move on from. But I will say I'm running this community tour full time this year and for as long as I can, because I think for me, this film as an organizing tool is as important to me as it has been to be in production, if not more important. So I'm kind of not in a hurry to hop to the next project yet just yet. I really want to be taking this film out to as many communities as possible, having conversations, and hopefully using it as the tool to give people hope for what some steps forward could look like.
Absolutely. And that's honestly like a beautiful thing about this film is that, like you said, it can just kind of be a tool that you can keep using to help spread this message because, it's something that affects everybody. So,
Yeah. And just one other quick thing too, the coolest thing about being on the film tour with a film that's about community to all these, great film festivals like Dead Center is our film festivals around the country are such important community institutions. They get people off their couch where they're watching films, streaming alone and together with their neighbors, watching films, confronting, hard questions, hard issues, having conversations. And so that's also been, a beautiful part of this process is to meet all the community builders behind, our great film festivals too.
yeah, absolutely. Before we sign off, is there anything that you can kind of talk about that you or Pete may be working on, or just like what's next, or anything like that?
We are just working on this film tour full
Yeah.
time. So we have titled it the Join Up Tour 2024, and we want to be taking this film to every community across the US. We want people joining clubs, starting clubs that didn't exist before, reviving clubs that need an extra, push to get their numbers up. And so we hope some of the listeners to this will get out to the screening here in Oklahoma, and if they can't make it, head over to our website and host a screening in their community.
Awesome. So if people want to follow this up, like where can they find you on social media and all that good stuff?
Yeah, so we are Join or Die Film on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, all the places. And then again on our website, which is joinerdie.film.
Okay, awesome. I love that. And just for the details of the OKC screening, it'll be in OKC May 7th, 2024 at the Rodeo Cinema Stockyard. So definitely go check that out on that'll be on Dead Center's Instagram where you can find the link to all that. So I really appreciate you for coming on. This was an awesome conversation. Like I said, I just watched the film, so it's fresh in my mind. So it was great to hear all about it, and I'm excited for the future of this film and what it can do for communities across the country.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having us on, Nick, and hope people can make it out to the screening on May 7th in Oklahoma.
Absolutely. Thank you. Have a good one.
Bye.
Passes are now available for deadcenterfilm.org. Make sure to check back with our social accounts for announcements about the festival schedule and details between now and the fest. See you June 6th through 9th, 2024 at the Dead Center Film Festival.
This podcast is sponsored by RK1 Studios. Thank you to Randy and Matthew for providing audio services in order to record this podcast. Check out their services at rk1studios.com. The Dead Center podcast intro music is provided by Aaron Newberry of Kid Again Music. Check out Aaron's music at Kid Again Music wherever you find your music on streaming.